You're more than listening. You're actually responding as well. Don't scream at that radio. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. Andrew and Brady both say probably don't bother. Well, let's text instead. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. Oh, welcome. Teeny's going to get the letters of the day in just a second. But first time again today. All right, Jake, were you a Cub Scout, a Weeblo, a Boy Scout?
You know what? I was none of those things at my church.
Loser.
Up, yeah.
Loser.
All right. No, I did something that was kind of the equivalent at my church, but no, I was not a Boy Scout.
What was that? What's the equivalent of the Boy Scouts with 114 years of tradition?
No, they have a lot of years of tradition. That's right. My church certainly didn't have that, but they did have something called Royal Rangers, which you could get merit badges for memorizing Bible verses, things like that. We also helped old ladies across the street. We learned how to build campfires. We had vests, but no, I was not a Boy Scout.
Okay, so you take the old lady across the street, and then you build a campfire.
Yes. Yeah. She's got to keep warm. You know, old ladies get cold.
So you never did the Cub Scouts for the Pinewood Derby. You never involved in that.
Well, no. Again,
just camping and the.
No. Again, we had all nope. this. We had our own Pinewood Derby. They all had to be in the shape of a cross. So I'm just kidding. No, I did not do. We didn't have campouts at mine. I did miss out on that.
Okay.
I was always jealous. I had friends who were Boy Scouts. I had a couple friends who actually made it all the way through to Eagle Scouts in high school. It was really cool. I mean, it's a lot of work involved, but they take that very seriously. So
yeah,
that's very cool.
What has happened? Yeah, over the last like 30 some years, the number of people signing up to be Boy Scouts has been declining. There was a time when they looked at the guys that were the president of the Boy Scouts Association and Boy Scouts of America. The guys like making $1 million, people on the board making all this money. It was this sort of big slush fund of people just spending tons of dollars. It used to be just $10 to join. It's now, I think, $100, and that's gone up from like 2003 or something. Yeah. In 2009, it was just $10. Now it's $100. They declining enrollment. The numbers are going down. They won a court case where they were allowed to discriminate under, you know, assembly. I think it was Dale versus Boy Scouts of America. That case, the Supreme Court in 2000 said, yeah, you know, it's, you know, they're allowed to. They're a club. They can have whoever they want in the membership. And then the Mormon Church broke away. Took almost half the kids. I don't know how many days, 700 and some thousand kids, boys went with the Mormon Church. Then other groups came in as well. They splintered and left an alternative called Trail Life USA, more Christian-based. They pulled away. So I guess they're just looking at the numbers. And the Boy Scouts of America are saying, you know what we're going to do? We're letting girls in
I got
now.
My Eagle Scout in 2021. So I've been an Eagle Scout for 3 years now. I've had a lot of trouble in the past explaining to people that I'm not exactly part of the Girl Scouts program, but I'm part of Scouts BSA.
I think it sends this really strong message to everyone in America that they can come to this program, they can bring their authentic self, they can be who they are, and they will be welcomed here. The argument that I make with the people that say, well, I always like Boy Scouts of America or BSA, why do we have to change? Go, you know, membership is at historic lows, right?
There you go.
Part of my job is to reduce all the barriers I possibly can for people to accept us as an organization and to join.
In the past, the name itself or the name alone, even though we were opened up to girls, there were still a couple of different challenges that we were facing. It wasn't just other scouts that were trying to put us down, but also some adults who were still not open to it. And so having it nationally recognized that girls are being welcomed and included in scouting allows it to be a more safe space just in general. But I think it's also important that scouts everywhere feel like the national scouting community is accepting them.
The numbers have dropped a ton. I was looking into this a little bit. In 1972, membership peaked at the all-time high. It was at 5 million. They had 5 million scouts back in 1972. And this is before they allowed girls in. But then in 2018, the number had dropped a bunch to around 2 million members. Then the pandemic hits. There's a further drop. They lose almost half of their scouts during the pandemic, and now they have just over a million in mm-hmm. Boy Scouts of America, or I guess now Scouts of America. So yeah, the number keeps declining. So I can understand why they're saying, "Hey, why don't we open it?" It sounds like they had already opened it up. They had just not called it something different in the name.
Yeah, now they're changing the name. You could just argue from the position is. Single-sex environments, whether in all-boys school or all-girls school, all-boys organizations, all-girls organizations, is there some value to that? I would argue there is. But they're saying, well, I guess if you just look at the numbers, like, guys, if we don't do something about this, we're going to be out of business. So why are we cutting off 50% of the population by not having girls in there? I think it's sort of sad that, you get a bunch of 10-year-old boys together, you know, that are 12-year-old boys that are scouting. It's a different environment than you get, you know, six girls and 10 boys or 15 boys. And I don't know what it is. It's different. Guys, boys act differently around girls. Girls act differently around boys. That's why single-sex education, there's studies that'll show that it's better. You can stay more focused. It's just, sort of just
listen to this.
I believe there's some merit to it.
Listen to this. This is interesting. In this AP article, they actually also talked about the Girl Scouts because, you know, Scouts of America now is what they're going to become. Eventually, right. I would assume that they're saying, hey, I mean, everybody could come here. So why do they still need the Girl Scouts of America? But Girl Scouts of the of USA, that's what they're calling us. It's a completely separate organization. In recent years, according to the AP, they've clashed with the Boy Scouts because the Boy Scouts have been actively recruiting girls to join their ranks. And the Girl Scouts are like, hey, we already have that. The girls can enjoy Girl Scouts. And they got the cookies and the ice cream and they got all the stuff that Girl Scouts are known for. So why are you asking them to move over to the Boy Scouts? It's just interesting to me.
They need more numbers, higher numbers.
Yeah, they need more numbers. They do have some famous former Boy Scouts. I can read you a couple of the names here if you're interested.
Oh, I know. Rob McKenna was an Eagle Scout. So many former astronauts and presidents of the United States were Eagle Scouts as well. Yeah. Hey, it really takes something. It's quite challenging to make it all the way to Eagle Scout. I lost a merit badge because I cried. Well, I complained. And then when listened to me, so I started crying. And then my scout leader removed one of my merit badges for courtesy because I got mad when I was a Cub Scout.
How old were you?
Still bothers me. The rules of the Pinewood Derby. I'm not going to hold it together. The rules of the Pinewood Derby. You weren't allowed to use power tools, okay? We didn't have any power tools in our house. My father was as mechanically inclined as a goat. So there was no power tools, and you had to use the Cub Scout pen knife, which I had. And you take that Pinewood Derby, it's pine, but it wasn't that soft, and you have to then, you know, shape it into a car.
You had to whittle? You had to whittle your car? I didn't know that.
Yes! Hello! Yeah, give me a shot. There were no power tools. And I got there the night for the Pinewood Derby race, and my mom is there. My dad wasn't there. And my mom's like, Mom, look at my car compared to everybody else's. Mine looked like an old, like, something from the 1920s. Like, you know, I could see, you know, Jethro and, you know, Grandma and Clampett sitting on the top of mine,
some
right?
Old
everybody
TV,
else is
yeah.
like arrow, just like super thin. You could tell they had a power tool to come in there. And I said to one of the guys, I said, one of the people in charge, I thought you weren't allowed to use power tools. No power tools. And my hands were all blistered and they were from where my
calloused.
Stupid pen knife calloused and cut and working on this stupid thing. And of course mine has no aerodynamics, and the fact that the wheel fell off didn't help either, but I came in dead last. I remember going over and complaining that nobody followed the rules on this thing and then crying, and then the guy said he's gonna take away my courtesy badge, which would mean my mom would have to unsew it off of my
horrible.
Uniform.
Oh, he didn't just rip it off you right there?
Yeah, he screamed at me like the guy from Full Metal Jacket. Yeah. I didn't know they piled my- only two really things that come out of Texas. Yes.
Tough on these Boy Scouts. I do have a question for
Cub
you,
Scout.
Though.
That was a Cub Scout.
Cub Scout,
was a Weeblo. Then a Weeblo. Yep.
Is that a different thing? Cub Scout or Boy Scout?
Working
different
your way
thing?
Up. Working your way up.
See, I don't get any of this in Royal Rangers. Everybody's just a Ranger. And Here's a question, though. Do you think, like, obviously they've had a lot of, it's tough to get Boy Scouts in. It's tough to get, scouts or whatever they're called now. They only have about 1 million of them, down from 5 million in 1972. When you look at, though, what kids are doing now these days, back in 1972, back when I was a little kid in the 80s, we had different interests. We didn't have access to the distractions that kids have these days. How much of it is because the scouts aren't imaging themselves in the right way, or they aren't advertising and getting people in the door, versus kids these days just aren't interested in that stuff? Nobody's going outside to build fires. Nobody's going outside.
The average kid under the age of 15 spends 7 hours inside, mostly on the phone.
So that's the problem, right? Like, how do you fix
that's why kids are fat. 1 out of 3 kids born in the year 2000 will be diabetic. They're fat. They don't go outside. They're not involved in anything. Their parents don't push them to do anything. They're husky. Yeah. The parents don't push them to do anything. They're not active. And scouting is all about being active and going camping and doing stuff like that and learning about, what water you can drink in the wilderness and how to set a fire and all that other stuff.
They should have
not joining. People don't join. So it's, it's a struggle for them to try to get the numbers up.
They should get some sort of like a video game, something.
Yeah, yeah,
then they get them on the books and technically they got more scouts.
They should start selling cookies.
Well, no, I think they'd be jumping on the Girl Scouts territory.
But,
there.
It sounds like it's war between them. Sounds do what like you got to do.
Yeah.
I still give great sales advice to the girls out in front of Safeway in Cleellum. Whenever I walk by them, they got their Girl Scout stuff and they got the boxes there. And they, do you want to buy some Girl Scout cookies? I said, ladies, I'm going to give you something much better than $20, my $20 for the cookies. I see the mom sort of come in a little closer to stop the weirdo guy in the rubber boots. And I'm like, you ready? Here, first of all, you don't want to ask a closed-end sales question. Do you want to buy? So if I say no, right, it's over. You want to open-end question. You ready? So with that, I get behind the table, and I stand there, and someone walks by, and I go, hey, what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie? Bang! Stops him every time.
Oh, you're right.
I like the Thin Mints. Do you?
You're in
we
luck.
We got Thin Mints. Have you tried our new, Wickledeedle-ert or whatever the other ones are? And the person's like, no, I haven't. Now we are engaged. I said, see, girls, you got to open-ended sales question. What's your favorite cookie? Do you buy them every year? How many do you buy every year? That kind of stuff. Open-end question. How do Girl Scout cookies make you feel? How long you've been buying Girl Scout cookies? Do you have your bunch of cookies? How many Girl Scout cookies you're going to buy this year?
What's your favorite memory eating a Girl Scout cookie or something?
Right.
Do the 6-year-olds respond to your tips?
No. The parents have ushered them
away. The ones that want to sell. The ones, okay, coffee's for closers, all right? And then I tell them, first prize is a Cadillac. Second prize is a set of steak knives. You know what third prize is? Third prize is you're fired, all right?
First rule, don't eat the product.
Right. I'm here on a mission of mercy.
Here's a side note real fast. I totally forgot about this, but I often get, they set up the tables and stuff. They set up a little table outside of the market that I shop at, but not the Girl Scouts. It was the Boy Scouts or Scouts America, whatever they're called.
Oh, they're selling the popcorn?
Well, the prices on these things. I had like a couple bucks in my pocket, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to walk over. I wasn't going to like bore them with advice. I was just going to try to give them money and buy their product.
Excuse me?
No. I know you're
trying to give them advice.
No.
Helping them sell.
They're 6 years old. They're not understanding it. You're scaring their parents. But anyway, I go over to the Boy Scouts and I say, hey, can I buy some? I say, what's the cheapest thing you got? And he goes, oh, probably the popcorn. I said, all right, I'll take a bag of popcorn. And he goes, that'll be $17. And I was like, what are you talking about? 17 bucks. All I had on me was like 10 bucks. So I just gave it to him. I said, well, I just consider this a donation. I just didn't want to walk away feeling like I hadn't given him anything. $17, I think it was, maybe 15 or 17 bucks for a bag of caramel corn. They have to get like something. They need a lower priced product. Something I can
or
get.
Or you need to make some more money.
Well,
here's the important thing. Everybody walks by. If you don't sell them right, if you don't ask right, you're not going to have the sales. I've done it now every year for the last 3 years. Whenever the Girl Scouts are selling, I always go over and help them out. They were out in front of Mike's Tavern. Help those girls. Help the one in Safeway.
Are you ever buying anything, or is it always just advice? You're just giving them advice?
Why? Let me tell you something. Me buying a couple of boxes doesn't do anything compared to me actually helping them.
So you're not buying any cookies?
What does that matter?
Learn some economics.
Yes, I buy a couple of cookies.
Okay, good.
What's your favorite cookie?
The peanut butter ones, whatever the peanut butter things are.
Oh, Samoans. See? Come on.
I'm old school, Thin Mint, every time.
There you go. Yeah, the tag-alongs are just not for me with the coconut.
Yes, that's the Samoans. I think depending on
what. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. learn some economics. We don't have time for this. Lawrence O'Donnell does this weird sort of prose poetry explaining Stormy Daniels coming in. Let's do it. Stormy Daniels
coming
into the courtroom. Yeah, it's really weird. Here he is right here. Brady's got some sexy music to put underneath this thing. So here he is explaining what it was like when Stormy Daniels entered the courtroom.
Well, the excitement and anticipation in the room hit a new high at 10:32 a.m.
Okay, Brady,
she entered wearing all black, as if on her way to
the funeral. When I pause her, you're going to bring the volume up, okay? You're going to bring it up and bring it back down. You ready, Brady? Ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. There you go. Ooh. Lawrence was down and so excited.
The loose-fitting, plain black clothing draping from her shoulders to her toes suggested the modesty of a nun. The makeup was minimal, the way she and the other moms in her neighborhood might look when shopping at the local grocery store.
This guy's weird.
So weird.
The long blonde hair held up with a clip at the...
He doesn't talk about her feet, does he?
He's getting to it.
Back of her head. The way it might be in a utilitarian way while she was doing dishes or checking one of the horseshoes on her.
Her horse. Oh, my God. So weird.
This is thirsty.
Here's the... I thought this was about Donald Trump writing a check to his attorney and then get Michael Cohen in order to get the silence of her because she was threatening to out him. It's not about any of the sex stuff, but Lawrence O'Donnell making this big thing, you know, oh, somehow Stormy Daniels is dressed like a nun.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. Like, what point was he making?
Isn't she married? I mean, I don't think does Lawrence O'Donnell think he has a shot with Stormy Daniels?
She later spoke of so proudly.
Yeah.
When she walked by him, her face had the same expressionless, somber look that all the jurors always have when they walk by him.
Oh, him. Yeah, I can't even see his name. Come on, Al Green. Take us home. Oh,
turn around and make me. I thought I was going to take us home.
You had Al. Mickey, you had Al. Come on, Mickey. Yeah, pregnant pause. Love it. All right. I don't know what fireworks would be or 4th of July would be without fireworks, Jake, right? You got to just sit there and just, oh.
It's the best.
You ooh and ah, and then you know the big grand finale's coming up, and then you, oh, and then the smiley face. And it's, ooh, I love the green ones and the purple ones and stuff like that. News broke a couple weeks ago. Joe, you have to fire it for me because someone who's got my computer, I have nothing up right now. Renton announced they're not going to be using traditional fireworks anymore. Here's that. Yep. Press the button in there, everybody. Anybody?
I got you. Hold, please.
Yep.
For many, the booming lights of fireworks is a trademark summertime scene. But not everyone can appreciate the display.
We have a lot of sensory issues. That includes like really bright flashing lights and especially the noises. For me personally, I can't speak for them, but the noises are especially bad. So fireworks are kind of a nightmare for people with sensory issues because they're the embodiment of all of that.
This year, the city of Renton is taking that kind of feedback into account and making changes to its light show. The city announced that 200 drones will replace the 4th of July fireworks to kick off the Renton River Days Festival. Renton started using drones last year when construction to upgrade the North Water Walk prevented a fireworks display. Some residents are already wondering what's in store.
They could do a lot more things than maybe a firework can just do, so they can create pictures and graphics and all kind of like shapes and stuff like that. Maybe they'll put like a message or something like that in the sky.
Uh-oh. Breton says using drones is safer for the environment and abides by the current fireworks ban. The city hopes residents appreciate the change, and folks who have seen drone light shows before promise it'll be a good time.
It's almost like synchronized swimmers. You know, they're doing a certain routine that's all together. It's pretty impressive.
Did they only talk to people who were excited about this? They didn't talk to one person who didn't like it?
Hey, well, you got to get Julie Heckman, executive director of the American Pyrotechnics Association. Julie has been working that job for more than, what, how long, Julie? Like 25 years or something? How long have you been in there?
Director, this is my 26th year and 36 years total firework industry.
So what do you think? These, it seems like more and more of these cities are saying, yeah, you know, environment or noise or something like that. I think Jake and I are old school on this. Do you feel threatened by this? And what's the response from the American Pyrotechnics Association to this, these challenges of fireworks?
Well, we certainly aren't threatened. You know, drones are a new technology that people are interested in, and they certainly can be a wonderful enhancement to a fireworks show or the beginning to let the public know, hey, folks, something is about to happen. But drones on their own, after about a minute, minute and a half, sorry, folks, they are boring. You know, it's all about the rocket's red glare, but more than the glare, it's the bombs bursting in air.
Yes.
And Americans want a traditional fireworks show which delivers a multi-sensory experience. We see the colors, we feel the concussion in our chest, and if we're lucky enough, we can actually smell the smoke.
Hey, Julie, I was just reading as well, not just Renton, but here locally, Mercer Island has also now said that they are permanently banning fireworks. So they're also going to do away with any fireworks for anyone on the island. When I was a kid, up until presently, the thing that I get most excited about on 4th of July, obviously I love the country and I like to celebrate the country and yada, yada, yada. But I love the fireworks a lot. And my kids, the really cool thing now is that I have three sons. And what my kids get really excited about, and they're young, you know, they're like 9, 6, and 4. What they get really excited about a week leading up to 4th of July, maybe even a month out, they're like, when are we going to go get fireworks? And we see the fireworks stands start to pop up. Imagine if that was just gone. I mean, like, what a giant part of the holiday just disappears if people switch over to drones. How are you guys, like, helping message that? Like, what is that going to, are people really, you know, considering what a loss that's going to be?
Well, I think what the public doesn't understand is how expensive drones are. Mm. A drone show is going to cost three times as much as a traditional fireworks show. So fireworks, you get more bang for your buck. Additionally, heavily regulated, you know, with the FAA, and drones are far more sensitive to weather, like wind and temperature, and they have a really short battery life. So a drone show is only going to get about 12 minutes long. You can't have a traditional 20-minute or 30-minute firework display made out of drones. It's just not going to happen. And the professional display companies that even incorporate some of these drones into their shows to enhance, they're not going to switch over. You know, some of these companies do 700 Independence Day shows, you know, over a 4 or 5 period. They can't transition and buy all these drones and get rid of all their racks and mortars and equipment. It's just not going to happen. And I think what the communities need to look at is the impact on the local economy, because people will camp out all day. They will book hotel rooms. They will shop, dine at all the area restaurants, and wait until dusk to see that fireworks show. They're not going to do that to see a drone show. It's going to be a huge impact.
Yeah, but I understand that people will choose not to attend these things. But the challenge for you is, since people aren't paying a ticket for it, it's a public display being picked up either by the city or a corporation that's paying for the cost of the fireworks. The people are sitting there, they're not going to have fireworks. They'll have drones, and there's no one they can complain to. Or maybe they don't go to the event anymore. It would be a little harder down the line to say, you see that? Since you guys switched over to drones, people aren't spending the money, and they're not coming to the hotels. It's affecting the bottom line on this. I think the challenge will be it's going to be so subtle that eventually people just sort of accept it. They no longer fire them off. part of your other challenge is people say, well, environmentally, it's not good because the you got copper or sulfur and there's other things that are in the air and the stuff is in the air and it gets in the water or whatever. And, you know, it's just a mess. So they just sort of see it as sort of prehistoric to be firing off fireworks as opposed to the safe kind of new technology. How do you respond to the environmental challenges of a firework?
Well, environmentally, we really have to worry about the lithium batteries that are used in drones. You know, there are a lot of problems with lithium batteries. And when it comes to the environment, there's a lot of misinformation out there about fireworks. We have eliminated the really dangerous metals and harsh chemicals in fireworks. So we are not contributing significantly to the environmental footprint that everyone is concerned about. I'd be more concerned about are those barbecue grills that are getting fired up, you know, or all the emissions from the gasoline grass mowers. There are a lot of things that are doing a lot more harm than one day of fireworks, one day a year.
I can tell you have you've been well rehearsed at this. Have you had other calls like this? Because, man, you've got your talking points down.
You know, in the past couple of years, we get a few. But, I mean, even my first reaction is, you want a drone show? It's a big yawn. It's a yawn. People aren't going to come.
It's completely and, silent, you know, too.
Julie, I got to play devil's advocate for 1 second. They can make really neat shapes, to be fair. The drone shows can make really neat shapes, which, like you said, is interesting for like a minute, maybe 2 minutes. But they can, I don't know if you've seen a lot of these drone shows, but they can go up in the sky. They can make, like, I saw one that made a flower once. They can probably make what looks like the outline of a firework exploding. Again, you would have to probably pipe in the music. It would have to have... Could they? Here's a thing. Maybe it fixes the problem. Could they do a drone show and then pipe in the sound of fireworks? Is that something you think people would be into?
She doesn't want that, Jake.
No, you don't want that. Don't you? Julie doesn't want that.
I don't think the technology is there yet. But we incorporated drones into our 75th anniversary firework display, and it was fabulous. They were incorporated. Mm-hmm. They weren't the primary focus. And I think drones, when they're employed to create, you know, like detailed logos and messages, they are definitely a real marketing marvel. No doubt about that. Want to see a corporate logo in the sky? Fabulous. But if you're looking for solid entertainment beyond a minute and a half, nobody has the experience to fly drones.
So, Julie, one last final question for you. So, on average, if a fireworks display lasts 20 minutes, what's the average cost to the city that's firing those fireworks off? Like a 20-minute show, what is it average?
Well, part of that depends on, is it discharged from a barge? Is it discharged from the land? But I think if we looked at minute per minute, drones cost about three times more. So if you had an average 10-minute drone show that had 300 drones, that would basically be a $90,000 show. Mm-hmm. Costing $9,000 per minute. A fireworks display of that same caliber would be $30,000, meaning $3,000 per minute.
More bang for your buck, literally. Yes.
More bang.
All right. Julie Heckman, who is he? What'd you say, Julie? I'm sorry. Last part.
And you get to feel the bombs bursting in air.
Yes. That concussive thing is exciting. That is fun.
That is. I love that. Or you know what you should do? Yes. That's what you have to remember. It's sight and sound and smell, all of it together, as we celebrate the country's birthday. Julie Heckman, the executive director of the American Pyrotechnics Association, thank you very much. I think the compromise would be you send the drones up, and then you shoot the fireworks up to explode the drones in midair.
There, oh, my everybody gosh. Be happy. That'd be perfect.
Huh? I paid for that one. Tell you something. If So Renton is going to go with drones, and I think you said Mercer Island's going to go with drones instead of the 4th of July typical stuff.
I don't know that they're going with drones, but they did outlaw fireworks for Mercer Island.
Nora was reading, and she said that they're going to do a 4th of July fireworks show, but then every other day of the year, fireworks are outlawed for Mercer Island specifically.
But that's the case everywhere,
that's
right?
That's what I thought, yeah. It seemed like a non-headline to me. But
you can't. Well, okay. I think they're changing.
You can't buy them. Like in Sammamish, you can't buy them in Sammamish. You can buy them right down the street and unincorporated.
I don't believe you can buy them anywhere near Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah. You go to the reservation, go to Kaboom Town and buy all that stuff.
Boom City.
But I'm just saying, I'm talking about like, you know, city sponsored, city fire. You show up and everybody's sitting there with the blankets and stuff firing off the fireworks. We know that you can't, as a citizen, you can't buy them in certain cities or set them off. But I'm saying is less and less places using pyrotechnics and going to drones because it's better for the environment or people are upset by the noise and upsets people's cats and dogs and stuff like that. It's one of these things where, like, the minority that are offended or upset or whatever kind of screwed it over for everybody else. That's what it always seems like to me.
Well, what about those sad dogs? Everybody complains about their dogs. You know, I don't have any dogs right now, so it's not like I'm not heavily invested in
I know, but
pets,
okay, but, you know, I'm sorry your dog, but it gets in this area. I'm sorry your dog's upset. Give your dog a couple of, you know, doggy Quaaludes. You can buy them at the store or something, right?
Yeah. Take them to grandma's house.
But should the rest of us not enjoy the rocket's red glare and all that other stuff because your dog is hiding under the bed? Like, really? Is that going to stop everybody from having fun? Because you don't like the noise, you don't like the smoke.
Isn't that going to build character in the dogs too? Yeah. Aren't they going to be better for it the next day?
It does.
Yes. Let them bite off some of their fur around their leg or something like that.
Have you ever seen one of these drone shows like up close? I've only ever seen them on TV where I feel like a camera can get really close up on them.
I've seen a few. Yeah.
I've never seen them in person, though, so I don't know what the feeling would be. Do you have to be close to see them?
No, you don't have to be close, but the two things that are weird about it is that they're completely silent. Like, they're just the drones are so far away, you can't hear them, so it's not like the buzz. And it takes so long. That's why every video of a drone show, it's always like triple speed or quadruple speed.
Oh,
because
really?
Because just to change shapes, it takes like 2-3 minutes just between shapes. So it's really like really slow and anticlimactic.
There's a fear factor with the fireworks, too, because something could go wrong and they could shoot at you.
Yeah, it's part of the fun.
That adds an element.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they're. It should be fireworks.
Explosions are awesome.
Guys, we're just a couple of dinosaurs looking for a tar pit right now because there's no stopping it. No stopping them. Oh,
isn't that sad?
Mickey either. Oh, it is sad. It's sad. It's all about somebody's dog.